Hello, and welcome to Reading the Library Book, still called Reading the Library Book for the time being. And this is chapter 23. In this podcast, I am reading the library book, soon to be called Leandra and the Global Library, or something else, and one chapter at a time. So we are on chapter 23. We have about 10 chapters to go from here. And this chapter is called The Escape. We made our way out of the gated section, closed the gate behind us, and went for the stacks where the two decoy books were. We gathered a book from either side of the gate and sailed back the way we'd come. There were books in so many different languages, some in languages that didn't even look like languages to me, just strange collections of symbols. The water was green and murky, and it reminded me of the green tea that my grandmother liked to drink, just after stirring. We all looked a little green in the light, which came from lanterns hung high on the vaulted ceilings, but bounced off the water and the shiny covers of books.
"We will want a plan," said Eamon, "for when we leave the boat."
"The advantage," I said, "is that Ms. Axis is very short, and when she's not on her stool, she can't see behind the counter."
"Well observed," said Eamon.
"And I think," I said, "since I am also small, maybe it should be me. I can pretend to check out some books, and I can pretend I don't know how it works. I think it might be fairly easy to frustrate that librarian with stupid mistakes."
In no time, we were pulling the boat into the dock, and I hopped out right away to begin implementing the plan.
Ms. Axis, perched at her desk, was facing the other way, but turned as soon as she heard the sound of the boat bumping into the dock. I waved at her, books in my arms. Eamon got out, too, and started to tie up the boat. I called out to her, "Can I go ahead and check these out with you?" Ms. Axis straightened her already straight cardigan and said, "Aren't you the eager beaver?"
Then waved me forward. I knew she meant for me to come straight to her at the desk, but I ran to the gate and opened it. She shrieked,
"What are you doing?"
and hopped down to meet me there.
I'd already made my way through it and was already on the other side when she got to me. "Don't you know anything, little girl? You have to check your books out at the desk."
"That's what I'm doing," I said. "I'm checking them out at the entrance desk. That's what we always do at my library."
"No, no," she said. "Here, we check out books at the back of the desk before leaving. You'll have to go back around."
"I'm so sorry," I said. "I was just so excited to use my library card."
"This is why children are so much trouble. I hope you didn't make too much noise in the stacks."
"No, ma'am," I said loudly. "I was as quiet as a mouse."
"Good," she said. "Now, just go back around to the water side of the desk, and I will check you out."
I quickly swung the gate open and ushered Kirzaka through, pointing out the exit door. Eamon stood by the desk, looking very impressively nonchalant. As I walked toward them, I searched my backpack for my library card. The librarian saw that I had some books in my bag, and she got suspicious.
"Are you trying to smuggle books out of my library?" she said accusingly.
"These are from other libraries," I said nervously. "This one is from..." I was about to say where, when the front door of the library creaked very loudly, and the librarian whipped her head around. She peered into the lobby, but saw no one. She turned back to me.
"You," she said, "let me see those books."
I dutifully pulled out all the books that I had. There was the book by Dorothea Crane. There was the book that had sent me to the desert. And there was the one novel I'd managed to save from my library's collection. Miss Axis was just about to open the desert book when I reached out to stop her. "Don't open that one," I said. "It's very dangerous." This, of course, made her even more curious and even more determined to open it. She glared at me and tried to pry my hand away. "I have to protect the library's collection," she said with some force. Eamon put his hand on top of the book as well and said, "I think you can be fairly sure that this book is outside of your library's collection simply by examining the spine." And he held it up for her to see before sliding it back into my backpack. As he did so, he murmured, "We have had quite enough librarian disappearances around here." Ms. Axis looked disgruntled at not having been able to see a book that had made her so curious, but she knew Eamon was right. I handed her my library card from my library back home. She looked at the card and raised an eyebrow. "The Don Powell Public Library?" she said. "This is your library card?" "Will it be okay? It's the only one I have." "I'm not familiar with this branch," she said. "But we honor all library cards. So what are we checking out today?" She looked at the books. "The Winesburg, Ohio Meeting Minutes, 1971 to 1972. And Tractor Silo Land Policies of Southeastern India." I could tell she thought I was a very strange little girl for checking out those particular books, but she was the sort of librarian who had been trained never to judge anyone's reading choices, so she didn't say anything. She just stamped everything and handed it all back to me. She nodded at us and told us we could go through the gate now. "You can open it yourself, I've seen, so you can show yourselves out." We thanked her and passed through the gates to the other side of the desk. I noticed a trail of wet spots on the stones, rather like duck prints moving from the desk to the front door. I found them very reassuring. I was glad to know that Kirzaka had made it out. As we reached the door, Ms. Axis called to us in a different tone of voice than we'd heard from her thus far. "Hey, you two don't know anything about the collections that are disappearing, do you?" We paused. Because, of course, we did know. Quite a lot. But it might not be wise to say.
"Which collections?" asked Eamon.
"Never mind," said the librarian. "Just a rumor. Never mind." We pushed open the creaking front doors and found Kirzaka waiting for us behind the entrance of the plaza. He shook my hand enthusiastically. It felt a little like shaking a goose foot and a human hand at the same time. The texture was a little rough, but also slick. Then he shook Eamon's hand with as much vigor. In the light of the plaza, he looked completely different than he had in the darkness of the stacks. His skin shimmered in the light, like he was made out of mermaid scales. He wasn't nearly so scary. He was almost beautiful, like a sunfish and a man put together. He wore a complicated outfit of crossing lengths of cloth. He reminded me of a ballet shoe because of the way his lengths of fabric wrapped around himself. He dripped a little bit while standing by the door, and he just kept shaking our hands and blinking. He apologized for blinking so much and let us know that he wasn't used to quite so much light. "It's been so long since I have been outside of the library." Eamon took his arm and began to walk back toward the group. He explained to Kirzaka that there were quite a few of us, including several wandering librarians.
I thought you were a myth," said Kirzaka. "I never actually met a wandering librarian before."
"We are everywhere," said Eamon. "We try to be where we are needed most, in the places others cannot go. For the people who cannot get to the library, we bring the library to them."
We turned a corner and saw everyone we'd left in the plaza, nestled into an almost hidden corner. They were all engrossed in the books we'd picked up inside. Plato, had clearly made it out very quickly and already had his head in Cooper's lap, and they were perusing one of the large tomes that Eamon and I had taken from the shelves inside not too long before. Eamon introduced Kirzaka to the others. Toti handed Kirzaka a small notebook that she had made some notes in about all that had happened recently and suggested he catch up by reading it. He settled in next to Felix the turtle and began to read. There were so many more books stacked up in the middle, so Eamon handed one to me and took another himself before settling in next to Taboos, the camel, who butted him affectionately with his head before placing his chin on Eamon's shoulder. So that is chapter 23, known as The Escape. And my question for you is, did you like this chapter? What did you think about this chapter? Because there are a lot of things that I like about it and that I would be sad to see go. But in reading it just now to you, I thought I could just skip to it, the end of it. Basically, I could just get Kirzaka and Eamon and Leandra out of the library a little faster and just have them show up where they've just arrived at the end of this chapter without all of the rigmarole with Miss Axis. I sort of like the rigmarole, but I don't know if you do. So tell me. In a way, I wanted to have a librarian who is sort of not as amazing and magical as all of the other librarians in Akita, because most of them are pretty great. That's my feeling. So I wanted to have a little bit more of her kind of prohibitive, restrictive ways of controlling her library's collection, and having Leandra and Eamon have to figure out how to negotiate around that. So that's kind of what she's doing here. But I don't know if that feels like too long a journey for you as listeners. So do let me know what you thought about this chapter, whether you could live without it or you were glad to go on this little ride of the journey. That would be very helpful to know. And the way to do that, the way to share that with me is to, you can send an email to leandralibrary@gmail.com. Again, that is leandralibrary@gmail.com. And I will just say about that email address, if you do email me there, and please do, please forgive me if it takes a couple days for me to get back to you. It's not because I am not excited to receive your emails. It's because I, at this moment, am not receiving a whole lot there. So I don't check it quite as often as one might think. So, yeah, send me an email there if you like. Or you can leave me a voicemail message at my Google Voice account, which is 646-847-8758. Again, that is 646-847-8758. And you are always welcome to reach out to me via and some other channel, your own way of communicating, especially if we already know each other and you know some of those ways. What else? Still looking for a new name for the podcast and a new name for the book. Please let me know. If you have ideas, send them along. So next week, or it could be in a few days if I manage it, next chapter, chapter is 24, and it is called Research. So research is coming up. If that excites you, you may be a librarian. See you next time.